If you have your Bibles, if you can open them up to Galatians chapter number 4 is where we will be this evening. I usually have the privilege of preaching in the auditorium and here on Wednesday nights, doing a series right now called Staying Sane in an Insane World. And it's been an awesome series so far. I got feedback even from two people tonight talking about that series. So if you're not coming on Wednesday nights, we encourage you to come back to an Equip for Life class, any class. But I teach one here in the auditorium. I've had people come up to me and tell me the messages that we've done on overcoming discouragement and unforgiveness and other topics we've covered have been such a help and a blessing to them. And my wife was telling me that some people have actually taken those lessons they've told her, and they've been sharing them with other people as well. So come back Wednesday nights if you have an opportunity to do so. Galatians chapter number 4. I was thinking about tonight preaching on Da Vinci's Last Supper painting, but Pastor Rob and Pastor Shannon talked me out of it. So I'm just kidding. That's not what I had planned at all. But I'm going to be speaking to you guys tonight on a topic, something very near and dear to my heart. I've been at Crossroads now 20 years this month. And ever since I've been on staff for 15 years, so I was just a regular person like you for 5 years here attending the church. But I've always been involved since pretty much day one. I've been involved in our life group ministry. It's a ministry that's very near and dear to my heart. And there's some changes that I know we've talked about that are coming. And I just want to share with you tonight a little bit about our life group ministry, about where it's been, where it is, where it's going, and show you the value and worthiness of our life group ministry here at Crossroads. But before I do that, I just want to share this with you, a story somebody shared with me that I thought was amusing. Maybe you'll find it amusing too. It's called How to Get Out of a Traffic Ticket. Are you ready? It says a police officer pulled over a guy for speeding, and the following exchange took place. The officer said, "May I see your driver's license?" And the guy said, "I don't have one. It's been suspended. It got suspended when I got my 5th DUI. And the officer said, "Well, can I see the registration card for this vehicle? It's not my car. I stole it." "The car is stolen? That's right. But come to think of it, I think I saw the registration card in the glove box when I put my gun in there." "There's a gun in the glove box?" "Yes, sir. That's where I put it after I shot and killed the woman who owns this car and stuffed her in the trunk." "There's a body in the trunk?" "Yes, sir." Hearing this, the officer immediately called his captain, and the car was quickly surrounded, and the captain approached the driver to handle this tense situation. And the captain said, "Sir, may I see your license?" "Sure, here it is." And he looked at it, and it was valid. "Whose car is this?" "It's mine, officer. Here's the registration." And the driver owned the car. "Sir, could you please slowly open your glove box so I can see if there's a gun in there?" "Yes, sir, but there's no gun in there." And sure enough, there was no gun in the glove box. "Would you mind opening your trunk? I was told that there's a body in that trunk." "No problem." He popped the trunk. It opened. No body. And the captain says, "I don't understand this. The officer who stopped you said that you told him that you didn't have a valid license. You stole this car. There was a gun in the glove box, and there was a dead body in the trunk." And the driver said, "Really? Ain't that something? I bet you that lying sucker told you I was speeding too." How to get out of a traffic ticket. Galatians chapter number 4 is where we're going to be. Let me start off by asking everyone here tonight this one question. Are you ready? That's not the question. But just want to know if you're ready. By a show of hands, how many of you are in a life group? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. I want you all to look around at all the hands that are up in this building. Wow. Life group is a place where about 500 people gather together, primarily for about 45 minutes every week at Crossroads, primarily for these three things: prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. Our life groups meet at numerous locations on the property. They meet at different times on the property. Some meet at 8:30, some meet at 9:45. And some of you might not know this, but we even have life groups that meet on Sunday afternoons and on Tuesday mornings. And all of these life groups, they all gather together for good. You see, people, they gather together in groups all over our country. People gather together for groups for all kinds of reasons. Some meet for religious purposes. Some meet for academic purposes. Some meet for social purposes. Some meet for community service purposes. And I'm sure that there's some kind of good that's being accomplished in these groups. But the question is this. In groups that meet, number one, first and foremost, is God being glorified. Because the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, to give glory to God." Are people in groups hearing the gospel of truth? Are people being built up in their faith in Christ? Are spiritual needs being addressed? Are people being given and shown from Scripture how to deal with and conquer problems that happen in their life? Look with me at Galatians 4, verse number 18. Paul told the Galatians this. He says, but it is, what's the next word? It's what? It's good to be zealously affected, how often? Always in a, what thing? Good thing, and not only when I am present with you. You know, the word good is used twice in that verse, and both times it means the same thing. If you look at the actual definition of that word good, it means valuable or worthy. And at Crossroads, would you agree with me that we have something good going on here at Crossroads? Man, if you don't think we got something good going on here, you're missing the boat. A good thing that we have here is this. It's where in one way, shape, or form, all the things that I've mentioned, people hearing the gospel of truth, people being built up in their faith, people shown from the Bible how they can handle problems that come their way. Those things are taking place and being accomplished here at Crossroads, and many of those are being accomplished through our life groups. And as I said, there's been a lot of talk about life groups and the transitions that are being taken, that are going to be taking place. And I even heard one or two people say that they thought life groups were going to be eliminated. And I want to let you know here tonight that our life groups are a good thing. Our life groups are valuable. Our life groups are worthy, and they are not going anywhere. Yes, there's going to be some changes. But like I said, I've been here, Kathy, my wife and I and our family, we've been here 20 years, and I have seen our life group ministry go through changes in the last 20 years and still survive, if not thrive. You know, we went from calling, when we first got here 20 years ago, we went from calling, our life group ministry was called Sunday School. And then from there, it changed. We had a change that took place, and the name change was from Sunday School to Adult Bible Fellowship. And some of you, does that sound familiar to some of you out there that have been here a while? And we call them ABF for short, ABFs. Pastor Dan didn't like that. He said it sounded like cough medicine. So we changed it from ABF to life groups. You know, we went 20 years ago from having, Pastor Dan having one auditorium class in this very room here. It was Sunday School. We went from that to him splitting that class, I believe, into five classes. And then we went from five classes to 10 classes, 10 classes to 15 classes, 15 classes to 20 classes, 20 classes to 25 classes. I remember, and this was a good change, some of you might remember this that have been here for a while. I remember before we had that life building, that a lot of our adult life groups, we met in the children's building in that big room called the fellowship hall. And believe it or not, at one time we had six life groups meeting in that fellowship hall at the same time, separated by partitions. And then, praise the Lord, we got a brand new life building where we could have our own class spaces. We went from having one life group hour to having two life group hours to having three life group hours. The class is meeting on Sunday afternoons, Monday nights, Tuesday mornings. Class is meeting at Chick-fil-A and at the Connect Cafe on Bevel Road. There's been a lot of changes that I've seen in our life group ministry in 20 years. Change can be scary, but you've got to give change a chance. Because change ultimately, at least the change I've seen here at Crossroads, is good. It's good change. You know, we have several opportunities a year in our church where we can get involved. But there's a place where many good things happen on a weekly basis in our church. And those are in life groups. Notice verse number 18 one more time with me. Answer this question for me. In that verse, what is the word that's used right after the phrase zealously affected? What is it? Always. Always. You know, and life group is a place where you can be zealously affected always in a good thing. Your life group is not going to run for 12 weeks and then be done for the entire year. Our life groups are here to stay. Our life groups run year long. Our life groups are here for you always, and they're here for me. You see, if you're saved, if you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, the Bible says, and Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, you will naturally want to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Where Christ is the focal point, where the grace of God is being ministered to you and through you. Life group is a great way where we can connect with other believers in Christ. You see, nowadays, it's not really easy to find encouragement in the workplace and even in other places. I mean, there's places that you'll go to that people will smile at you and they'll act like they like you, but really, they want something from you. But our life groups are not that way. Our life groups are places where there's no strings attached. Our life groups are places where we can come to each and every week and we can gather together with others that are like-minded, just like you and I, other Christians, people that have the greatest thing in common with you, and that's Jesus Christ. Life group is a place where we can develop godly friendships. You know, it's really hard to get to know people when we just come to worship service and just leave. For the first 2 years, Kathy and I came to Crossroads, that's what we did. We came to the worship service. We'd sneak in that door right there. We'd make our way over there. We'd climb up the steps. We'd sit right about where Luke Rich is, right there. That's where we sat for the first 2 years. And when service was over, we would be out of here. And we never got to know anybody. And then, by the way, my brother, Tony, not sure if he's here tonight. There he is, right back there. I had somebody come up to me this morning and say, is that your twin brother? Stand up for a second so everybody can see you. He says, no. You know why he's not standing up? Because I'm better looking than he is, and he just doesn't want everybody to see the comparison. But my brother has been coming to this church longer than I have. He invited us here to come here 20 years ago. And that was the biggest blessing, I think, in our life ever, was being invited by my brother to come here. I didn't even know there was a church here. He said, hey, you know, we're going to this church. Back then it was Daytona Beach Baptist Church. He said, we're going to Daytona Beach Baptist Church. You got to come. It's a great church. That pastor, you know, 20 years ago, he was 29, right? And he says, it's a young guy. He's on fire for the Lord. He's like, you got to come hear this guy. He's a great preacher. You can understand what he says. You know, I grew up in Catholic church, and you couldn't understand what they say. We never used the Bible. We never did that kind of stuff. He says, he preaches the Bible. You can understand what he says. And he was right. We came, and we started to learn the Bible for the first time in our life because we had someone that could explain the Bible a way that you could understand the Bible. But after that, like I said, the first 2 years, we sat up there where Luke Rich is. And then after 2 years, we had a couple that's sitting right back there, Dwayne and Kathy Towery. Stand up, guys, so we can see you. There they are right there. They've been at the church how many years? 30 years at this church. And this couple invited us to come to a life group. And as Clint Proctor would say, it was life-changing. Really, it changed our lives. You know, it made the biggest difference in our lives to where we now felt like we were part of the church family. You know, you can join this church and you can be a church member on paper. Yeah, I belong to Crossroads Church, but you can still not feel like part of the church family. When you're in a life group, you begin to feel like a church family. All of us can develop friendships. We can develop friendships at school. We can develop friendships at work. We can develop friendships with whatever in whatever sporting events that we attend. We all can make friends, can't we? Man, it's easy to make friends. We all have friendships. But the question is this, are they godly friendships? Are they with people that will build us up in our faith in Christ, or are they with people that will cause us to stumble and fall? We've got to make sure that we are building godly friendships with others. It's good when you have friends that you can count on. And I think about the friendships that I've built here, Kathy and I have built here with you guys over the last 20 years, and the difference that it's made in our lives, the people that we could count on. I think of the Apostle Paul and the friendship he had with Luke, and the Bible says, who was by his side through thick and thin. Friendships, friendships. Because you know as well as I do that sometimes your family members are not really the ones that are closest to you, are they? Sometimes the ones that are closest to you could be those right here in this building, in your church. Sometimes your church family members are closer to you than your real family members. You know, life group is the place where we are held accountable. You know, we all need to be held accountable, don't we? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We get discouraged, we get depressed, we get lazy, we get distracted because of the things in the world, and we just don't feel like coming to church. You ever been there? No one's going to answer out loud, are they? They don't want to admit it. But you know what? When you don't show up and you're not in a life group, when you don't show up to church and you're not in a life group, nobody might not even know you're gone. In such a large crowd as this, it's easy to miss people. Sometimes people are gone for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, and I don't even know they're gone. It's a surprise to me that they've been gone for that many weeks. But when you're in a life group and you're absent, it will get noticed and you will be missed. And you can be sure that someone is probably going to check up on you and make sure everything's okay, unless you've already told someone that you're going to be gone. Your teacher, your teen teacher, your children's teacher, your life group leader, a friend in class. But what happens when we miss church or life group for a week? Sometimes that 1 week becomes 2 weeks. That 2 weeks becomes 3 weeks, becomes 4 weeks. And if we're not careful, instead of making progress in our Christian walk, we start to regress. We take a step backwards instead of a step forwards because we're neglecting a good thing here at Crossroads. We're neglecting meeting with other believers in Christ in a life group. We don't want to take a step backwards in our Christian life. We always want to take steps forward. You know, they say that it takes 21 days to form a habit. That's 3 weeks. And I want to show you an example here in Galatians 4. Look with me at verse number 3. As Paul addresses the Galatians, he says in verse number 3, he says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Go with me down to verse number 8. And he says, howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them by which by nature are no gods. But verse 9, he says, hey, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul just couldn't get it. Paul takes these Galatians back down memory lane, and he reminds them of the bondage that they were in when they were living according to the ways of this world. They were lost in their sins. They were living like the world wanted them to live. And then Paul, in verse number 9, he basically tells them, he says, how is it now that you are saved that you turn again, that you desire again to be in bondage to the world? Why? Why, when Christ has given you a new life and when Christ has made you free and Christ has placed you in a place among other believers in Christ that can encourage you, that can build you up in your faith, why walk out that door? Why turn your back on the church, on the Lord, on your life? Why do these things and go back to living in the ways of the world? Christ has made you free. Look at me at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us, what? Free. And Paul says, and be not entangled, what's the next word? Again, with the yoke of bondage. Yes, this was written 2,000 years ago, but is it still true today? Yes, it is. Someone can come through our door. Man, you and I have seen it. We've seen it. Someone comes to our church for a while. They come in the doors, you see them growing in their relationship with the Lord, and then Satan gets his claws in them and uses the lusts of this world to draw them away, back away from other believers, away from their life group, away from their godly friends here at church. Can I tell you what we're going to do? We are going to keep each other accountable. Amen? If you know someone that's not here, you're not going to wonder why. You're going to find out why. That's how we keep each other accountable. We don't say, hey, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know where they're at. Do you know where they're at? I haven't seen them. Have you seen them? No. And do nothing. As believers in Christ, we are members of the same body. When one member is gone, we should be concerned about that member of this body and follow up on that person. Life group is a place where we can find help. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says this. It says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And that's what the family of God is all about. During the tough times that we have in our lives, we can share those burdens with other people in our church family, with our life groups. During the good times, the joy is multiplied. During the deaths, during the sicknesses, during the struggles, during the tragedies that happen in our life, we can find a shoulder to cry on. During the good times, when our favorite team wins the Super Bowl, the Broncos, the Panthers, we can rejoice and we can give somebody a high five and go, yeah, Pastor Rob, sorry about the Dolphins this year. When there's a birth of a child, when there's a birth of a grandchild, when there's a milestone anniversary, you've celebrated 25 years of marriage, you've celebrated 50 years of marriage, you know, we all can celebrate. Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Romans 12. That's why in our life groups, I love the time that we allocate each week for our prayer and praise time. It's when we can do those things. Life group is a place where we can find encouragement. Life group is the place where we can encourage one another. Did you know that there will always be people in your life that will zealously affect you, but not for good? There will be people that will discourage you and not encourage you. I want you to look here in Galatians chapter 4. Go back with me back to chapter 4 and down to verse 17. Paul writes here, he says, there will also, yeah, you are supposed to always be zealously affected in a good thing. But there's going to be people in your life that are going to zealously affect you, but not for good. Not for the good of your edification, not acting in your best interest, not building you up in Christ. Paul starts off verse number 17 this way. Look what he says. He says, they zealously affect you. But what are the next three words? He says, but not well. There's going to be people in your life that will not be an encouragement to you. But in life groups, we are here to encourage one another each week. We all need that. Would you agree with me that there's enough to discourage us outside of this place? But here, from other believers in Christ, from God's word, is where we draw strength to face the world and impact it for Christ. It's here in this place that we draw strength from God, from his word, from each other, so that way when we go to work tomorrow, we can make it through our day, be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe impact someone else for the Lord. Romans 15:12 says this. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You know, life group is a place where people care. A pastor was preaching about all the things money can't buy. And the pastor said this. He said, hey, money can't buy happiness. It can't buy laughter. Money can't buy love, he told the congregation. Money can't buy these things. And then to drive his point home, the pastor said, what would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother and father? And a hush fell over the congregation. And then finally, a small voice near the front raised his hand and said, how much would you give me not to love my brother or sister? Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul told the people this. He told the Thessalonians, he said, hey guys, I don't need to write to you about brotherly love, because if you're saved, God has put it in your heart to love one another, because you have the epitome of love living inside of you, Jesus Christ. Look with me back at Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your hearts. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, as we said, he will make you free. But not only that, but he puts his Holy Spirit into your heart, as this Bible says. You're no longer in bondage to Satan. You're no longer in bondage to the Old Testament law, but you are free. But the Bible says, hey, if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says there is still one law that still binds us. One law, and it's a spiritual law, and it's the law of Christ. You might say, Pastor Rich, what's the law of Christ? Go to Galatians chapter 6. Look at it with me. What's the law of Christ? I thought that Paul just wrote that when you're saved, you're free from the law. Christ came to redeem us from the law. He did, the Old Testament law. But as I said, there's still one law you and I as Christians, the Bible says, should be obedient to. Galatians 6, verse number 2. I'm going to do something different tonight than I normally do. But I'm going to ask, on the count of three, I'm going to ask all the ladies to read verse 2 together. Are you ready? On the count of three, all ladies, read verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And then go to verse number 10 with me. And let's all, on the count of three, let's all read verse 10 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. As we... The Bible says do good to all people, but it says especially unto them. Paul writes, especially unto them that are of what? The household of faith. As Christians, we need to bear one another's burdens. That's the law of Christ. We are to be there for one another. When we see an opportunity to do good to another believer in Christ, if you see an opportunity to do good to a member of your life group, you see that there's a burden that they have and Lord has placed it in your heart to help them with whatever burden that is, the Bible says that we need to do good. We need to take advantage of that opportunity. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is truth. Do you believe the Bible is truth? And life group is a place where we hear the truth. You know, I love when Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:7, Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. He said, I'm a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity means truth. We have a pastor, Pastor Dan, who does not compromise the truth. Amen. A pastor that rightly divides the word of, I didn't even know what rightly dividing the word of truth meant 21 years ago, but I know what it means now. We've got a pastor that doesn't compromise the truth, a pastor that rightly divides the truth, and because of that, we have people in our church that hear the truth each and every week, not only in church, but also in life group. And life group is the place where we learn how to apply it in our daily lives. You know, in life group, it's a great opportunity where we can take things a little step further in our small groups, whether they're in children's classes, teen life groups, adult life groups, singles. It's a place where we can take a step further in the worship service. You know, when Pastor Dan's up here and he's preaching for 30, 40 minutes, he can't stop and take questions. If there's something you don't understand, something that you need clarification on, you know, sometimes remember back when you were in school, when you didn't understand something, you'd raise your hand and ask your teacher the question. You needed clarification. You needed better understanding of something. We can't do that in the worship service, but you know what? There's a place that you can do that, and that's your life group. It's a place where you can learn further how you can live out the things that you've learned. And when we do that, we grow. Life group is a place where we can grow in Christ together. Life group is a place where our faith is strengthened. Look back with me one more time at Galatians chapter 3. Go down to verse number 26. Galatians 3:26. The Bible says this. It says, for ye are all the children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So we become a child of God by what? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. After that, we live the Christian life by faith. Verse number 11 tells us just that. It says in verse 11 that the just shall live by faith. You become a child of God by faith. You live the Christian life by faith. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I'm dead with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he said, and a life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we come to God, we come to him by faith in Christ. And we live the Christian life by faith in Christ. When we see others in our life group trust Christ with whatever's going on in their life, those have been some of the best encouragements to me. You know, I was going to share with you guys so many specific examples, but I know I only have so much time. But I think back to the days that I was in a life group before I started teaching a life group and just sitting in a life group and being so encouraged to hear other people in my life group sharing about how they went through this struggle and this struggle and this trial in their life and how they put their trust in God and how God helped them through it. Man, what that did for me in my life, it helped strengthen my faith in him and what he can do in us and through us. We have a good thing going on here at Crossroads, folks. We got a good thing going on in our life groups, what Christ is doing here. It's so good. It's so good not to keep it to ourselves. May we always remember that there are others that need a life group. Sometimes we get comfortable in our life groups and we're happy with those in our life group and we like things just the way they are. But we got to remember that not everybody in our church is in a life group. You know, one thing that I've taught my life group leaders is this, is that we don't want to practice acceptance, but acceptance. We always want to be open and welcome to anyone else that wants to come to a life group. May we be mindful to invite them to a life group. Invite them to participate in this good thing with us at Crossroads. If you're not in a life group, you need to be in one. We have brochures that are in the racks. You can always grab one. I don't know if there's any in the lobby, but they're always in the racks here. Grab a life group brochure. Life group is the place where we need to be every week. Not out of guilt, but out of desire. It's got to be the place that you want to be. You might say, Pastor Rich, hey, I don't think I really need a life group. I don't know if it'll benefit me. Hey, maybe God could use you to be a blessing to someone in that life group. Do you ever think about that? You might not need it. You might not see the benefits. But maybe God can use you to be a blessing to someone else in that life group. Why do we need life groups? Life groups are the place where we laugh together, cry together, pray together, grow together, serve together, and have fun in life together. The key word is together. That's life. No one should go through life alone. We all should go through life together. Life groups, learning, involvement, friendship, encouragement. Romans 12:9 says this. It says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. The word cleave means stick to, join in, keep company with. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, he said, hold fast to that which is good. And that phrase in Galatians 4 that we've been talking about, zealously affected, that phrase means to covet earnestly. And you might say, Pastor Rich, I thought coveting was bad. Isn't that breaking one of the Ten Commandments? Normally it is. Especially when you want something that someone else has. But in this case, life groups are ours, and they're good. It's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Our life groups are a good thing. Covet them earnestly. Stick to them like glue. Let's grow together. Let's impact lives together. And let's make a difference now and for eternity as we experience life together. Amen.